privilege we have of coming to Christ. Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter number 2 is where we're going to be. And as you can see on the slide, we're dealing with delays. And of course, this message was delayed. So little did I know. Apparently, I needed to apply the message a bit better. But 2 Samuel chapter 2, once you're there, let's stand out of respect for the word, give our legs a little bit of a stretch. 2 Samuel chapter 2, and we'll begin in verse number 1, and we'll go through verse number 11. 2 Samuel chapter number 2, and beginning in verse number 1. Just to catch us up with context, since it's been a couple weeks, of course, at this point, David has, he's been waiting to become king, and he is officially, Saul has actually passed away, and in this passage, David officially, at least partially, becomes king. 2 Samuel chapter 2, and beginning verse number 1. And it came to pass after this, after what? After Saul had passed away, and after everything that happened in chapter 1, that David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah?" The Lord said unto him, "Go up." And David said, "Whither shall I go up?" And he said, "Unto Hebron." So David went up hither, and his two wives also, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, Nabal's wife, the Carmelite. And his men that were with him did David bring up, every man with his household, and they dwelt in the cities of Hebron. And the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. And they told David, saying, that the men of Jabesh-Gilead were they that buried Saul. And David sent messengers unto the men of Jabesh-Gilead, and said unto them, "Blessed be ye of the Lord, that ye have showed this kindness unto your Lord, even unto Saul, and have buried him. And now the Lord show kindness and truth unto you. And I also requite you this kindness, because you have done this thing. Therefore now, let your hands be strengthened, and be valiant. For your master Saul is dead, and also the house of Judah have anointed me king over them." Up to this point, it seems like things are going pretty well for David, but verse number 8. But Abner, the son of Ner, captain of Saul's host, took Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, and made him over to, and brought him over to Mahanaim, and made him king over Gilead, and over the Asherites, and over Jezreel, and over Ephraim, and over Benjamin, and over all Israel. Ishbosheth, Saul's son, was 40 years old when he began to reign over Israel, and reigned 2 years. But the house of Judah followed David. And the time that David was king in Hebron over the house of Judah was 7 years. In 6 months. Let's ask the Lord's blessing as we consider this topic, dealing with delays. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you. We're thankful for your word. We're thankful that we can look and study now this book of your word. And Father, we pray that you would give us understanding, give us strength, give us help, Father, as we deal with the delays in our life. Lord, when we see the roadblocks, when we see the struggles, and when it seems like everything's going to come to pass, and then it comes and passes. Lord, I pray that you would help us and strengthen us. Give us encouragement here today as we look at this example of David's life and some of the character traits that we should live in our own lives. Work in our lives. Strengthen us, Father, to have faith even in the delays. And we'll thank you. In the name of Jesus, we pray these things. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Appreciate you standing. Of course, David has been promised at this point for many years. People speculate how long, since it doesn't really give a good time frame, but roughly about anywhere from about 12 years to about 15 years. David's been waiting to be king. He's gone through the trials and the struggles as we've looked at in depth through the book of 1 Samuel. He's faced all the problems and the burdens. He was chased by Saul, and now it seems like everything's going to come to pass. Everything is going to work out, and then there's another delay. You ever been there in your life? It feels like everything's going to work out, and everything's okay now, and all of a sudden, no, actually, it's not. How do you deal with that? That can be a frustrating thing, can't it?
that you go and you're serving and you're trying to be faithful, you're trying to do what you need to do, and then God says, wait a little bit more. I see three characteristics of David here in this passage, that how he dealt with this delay that hopefully can help us as we deal with our delays in our life. First off, I see that David had, number one, a continued faith. And can I tell you, friends, if you're to deal with the delays in your life, you need to have a continued faith as well. Faith is not something that is just for the good times. Faith is not something that's just for the bad times. Faith is every step of the way. As we looked at a few weeks ago, due to my sickness, in chapter number 1, you find that Saul, the enemy of David, had finally fallen in battle. And David, rather than rejoicing, that mourned over Saul. We looked at that in depth. But you see here in chapter 2, verse 1, that David still has faith. First off, can I say there are some roadblocks that David could have had to his faith. Look at verse number 1 if we can. And it came to pass after this, that David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah? Let me just ask you real quick, see how well you remember. Where is David at this point? Is David in Israel? Yes or no? No. Do you remember where he is? He's with Philistines. David's still there in Ziklag. He's still there with the Philistines. As a matter of fact, if you're interested, way back in chapter number 1 and verse number 1, it says David had abode 2 days in Ziklag. He's still living with the Philistines. There were plenty of roadblocks for David to say, no, this isn't for me. David had for a long time not followed God. For a long time he had gone away from God. He had gone so far as to nearly fight against Israel. There were plenty of roadblocks to David's faith. But I'm so glad that despite the roadblocks, David decided to have faith and to show that faith. Number one, the roadblocks to faith. By the way, can I just say real quick? It doesn't matter what you've been in the past. Today and every day is a day where you can make a difference and move forward by God's strength. Don't live in the past and say, because I did this and I can't do what's right in the future. No, step out by faith and say, hey, today's a day where I can make the change. Number two, I see the revelation of his faith. We look at verse number 1. It came to pass after this, David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up in any of the cities of Judah? And the Lord said unto him, go up. And David said, whither shall I go up? And he said, unto Hebron. It reveals a lot if we break it down. First off, it reveals, that he asked. The reality is, David, for a long time, as we looked at earlier, way back in 1 Samuel, David for a long time had not sought God. He had not been seeking God. And the fact that he goes and specifically asks and adds the detail so extreme as to go back to Israel, the place that was hunting him, trying to kill him, shows faith. Number one, that he asked. Number two, who he asked. David doesn't go to his generals. He doesn't go to his advisors. He certainly had them. He doesn't go to Joab or to any of the other mighty men that he has. No, he goes to one person and one person only, and that's who? God. Can I tell you, friends, I'm all for counsel. I'm all for advice. But the one person you need to ask before you ask anybody else is God. Should I do it? David goes to the Lord and he says, Lord, should I go to Israel? He's not going to all the other folks. He's going to God. Can I tell you, our faith ought not be in what everyone else says or thinks. Our faith should be in what God says and thinks. That he asked. Who he asked. Number three, what he asked. He asked two specific questions in verse number one. First off, should I go up into the cities of Judah? And then number two, where? It's interesting here. He goes and he asks for the general and then he asks for the specific. In our lives, we have things that generally we need to know and we have specifics that we need to know. Let's just break it down into a simple thing. When you go and you're seeking God's will, seeking what God desires for you, sometimes you might go and say, okay, well, should I do this, that, or the other? Can I tell you? In general, God's Word will give you the answers. But God's Word sometimes doesn't give the specifics. Isn't that true? If I'm considering what I should watch on my TV, God's word gives general, but God's word doesn't say, thou shalt not watch this show. Obviously. So what do? You follow God's word and then you allow the Spirit to lead and guide in the specifics. Psalm 119 verse 105 says this about the word of God's direction. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God's word reveals the next step that we need to take. The specifics, Psalm 143 and verse number 10, again, both of these Psalms of David, David says, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God, thy spirit is good, lead me into the land of uprightness. He's saying, God, your spirit, please guide me and lead me. Can I tell you folks, we need both if we're going to be successful in God's word. Amen. I'm not Pentecostal in the slightest, I'm Baptist with a capital B, amen. Can I tell you, folks, we need the Holy Spirit of God. And we need the Word of God to faithfully and efficiently know what God wants us to do in our lives. David goes and he no doubt sought God and God's Spirit through his Word as revealed in the prophets. Obviously, different time frame reveals what he needs to do. His continued faith. Number one, the roadblocks. Number two, the revelation. Number three, the response. Can I say this real quick? If you don't respond in faith, it doesn't matter how much faith you have. See, if David went to God and said, God, should I go into Judah? And God says, yes, go. God, where should I go? Go to Hebron. And David goes and David says, okay. And then he stays in Ziklag. Then did David really have faith to begin with? You see, I've seen a lot of Christians. Can I get to meddling for a moment? Seen a lot of Christians in their lives and they say, oh, I believe God, I trust God. And God says, here's what you need to do then. Here's all the steps you need to be taken. And they go and they say, well, I don't want to do that. Can I say real quick? Then you didn't trust God.
That's right.
Right? See, it didn't matter that David heard it. It didn't matter that David knew it. Until David responded in faith and went, and by the way, went completely, as we see in verses 2 and 3. It's not just David that goes. David brings his wife. David brings his men. David brings their family. David goes with everything. David's all in that we really see David's faith. Can I just remind you real quick, just for sake of clarity, this is not just a little step for David. David had actively been trying to kill David. You with me here? The entire army of the land was trying to kill David. You with me here? And David's taking his families and his men on the faith of God and saying, okay, God, I will go into a place that seems scary, into a place that seems worrisome. I will go because, God, I trust you. Can I ask you, Christian friend, do you have that kind of faith? In the delays, when God has promised, or perhaps you don't know what God wants you to do, do you still have the faith to trust Him? Trusting, trusting, only trusting. Can I tell you, folks, number one, we need to have a continued faith in delays. Number two, we need to have a caring forgiveness in the delays. So, let's fast forward a little bit. David goes, and he goes into the place of Hebron. And you find in verse number 4, the men of Judah, they all come. They anoint David king. So the people of, if you remember, there are 12 tribes of Israel. One of the tribes, Judah, comes and they anoint David king and everything seems great. And there they're having a big party, perhaps a big coronation. And then in verse number 4, you find this. And there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. And they, that is the men of Judah, told David, saying that the men of Jabesh-Gilead were they that buried Saul. Can you picture this? Let's picture it, okay? David, they go and they put the king on it. They put the crown on him. They anoint him with oil. They're all having a big party. And in the middle of the party, someone comes up to David. And someone says, hey, David, I don't know if you know this. Some secret news here. The people that buried Saul, those are the people of Jabesh-Gilead. Now, let me ask you here real quick. Why did the people of Judah even care? Why would that come up? Can I submit something real quick? I don't believe they were going to David and saying, hey, David, I want you to know, because they did a great thing, that these people did this. I don't think that's what was happening. I may be wrong, but I don't think that was what was happening. I think they were coming to David because they said, David, you got some enemies out there. You better be careful. Those people, Jabesh-Gilead, they still have respect for Saul. You better watch out, David, because you got some people out there that don't like you. And what's David's response? The expectation, I believe, is the expectation to fight. They are going and they're saying, hey, David, you're the man. You're the king now. So go and take care of all the enemies. By the way, that mindset is even in some of his leaders, as we'll see later on. Joab does the exact same thing in the next few verses. They have this idea to complain to David. They perhaps have an idea to consolidate their own power. Later on in 2 Samuel chapter number 4 and verse number 4, you find a very similar idea happens, that literally when Saul dies, that a lot of Saul's family was actually murdered. 2 Samuel 4:4, you can look at it, it's in your handout. There's this consolidation that often happened when a king took place. And perhaps they're going and saying, hey, maybe you need to teach those people of Jabesh-Gilead a lesson. Is that what David does? No, look at verse 5. Very unique in the ancient world. David sent messengers unto the men of Jabesh-Gilead and said unto them, what? What's the next word? Blessed be ye of the Lord, that ye have showed this kindness unto your Lord, even unto Saul, and have buried him. Can I remind you what the men of Jabesh-Gilead did real quickly? At the end of First Samuel, you find that these men that had been under penalty of literally death, these men that had been saved by Saul, took a daring rescue attempt, took the body of Saul from off the wall that he had been hanging on there in the Philistine camp, took that body, took it all the way home, took the head of Saul that had been beheaded, buried it, burnt the body. Literally, they went and they showed respect to the body. And what's David doing? David made a decision, a choice to forgive. These people were not on David's side. They never really were on David's side. These were the same men that respected and cared for Saul. They didn't care for David. But David made a choice, a completed decision, that even in the midst of the uncertainty, even in the midst of all the trials, that he would choose to forgive. Can I tell you, folks? We have far too many Christians that are not willing to forgive. Far too many Christians that will hold issues and hold struggles over people's heads. David's completed decision didn't happen here. It didn't even happen in chapter 1, although certainly we see it there. David's completed decision to forgive Saul happened years and years and years ago. David didn't hold bitterness. By the way, if anyone could hold bitterness on somebody, certainly David perhaps could have. You can make an argument. Saul had tried to kill him on multiple occasions. If someone took a gun and tried to shoot you, I guarantee you, that person would not be your friend. Saul had on 3 different occasions thrown a spear at David while he was playing the harp. Can you imagine if I was playing the guitar up here and you decide to throw a spear at me? I'm not a good guitar player. Maybe you can't imagine that. But regardless, here David is! But David still chose to forgive. Can I tell you, friend, there is no issue, there is no struggle, there is no burden, there is no hurt that you can't forgive because Christ forgave you. Amen. Ephesians 4 and verse number 32 says, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. You can forgive no matter what issue has come up because God forgave you. Talked about that just the other day on Sunday night. If you're struggling with forgiveness, you're struggling with bitterness, can I tell you, friends? Deal with it. Deal with it. Number one, it was a completed decision. Number two, it was a compassionate decision. He gives the people of Jabesh-Gilead, the men specifically, were the ones that did the action. He gives them a divine blessing in verse 5 and 6. David sent messengers unto David's children and said unto them, Blessed be ye of the Lord, that ye have showed this kindness unto the Lord, even unto Saul, and have buried him. And now the Lord show kindness and truth unto you, and I also will requite or pay back you this kindness. You see, he gave a divine blessing, but he also gave personal blessing. He said, hey, you know what? I'm on your side. I care for you. I'm all for you. You may not like me. You may not go with me. You may not follow me, but I still forgive you. Can I tell you, Christian friend, while you're dealing with the delays, while you're waiting for the promises, number one, have a continued faith, but number two, have a caring forgiveness. Be willing to forgive those that hurt you, those that have harmed you, those that have gone against you. We all have people that have hurt us, haven't we? Forgive. Forgive. David is consistently, obviously, constantly showing a forgiving spirit. Number one, continued faith. Number two, a caring forgiveness. Number three, a constant fortitude. Verse number 7. David at this point doesn't know that he has enemies. He doesn't know that the whole nation is going to be against him. David at this point is actually trying to get the people of Jabesh-Gilead to be on his side. Look at it, verse 7. Therefore now let your hands be strengthened and be valiant. For your master Saul is dead, and also the house of Judah have anointed me king over them. But verse number 8 starts with the word that often happens when we're waiting. But. Abner, the son of Ner, he's going to be a major character in the next couple chapters. Abner was the captain of Saul's host, as we see here. He was cousins to Saul, if you go back in 1 Samuel. He was a man that was strong, a man that was the leader of the armies of Israel. He was a man that was well respected, a man really, honestly, that was rather feared. He was the same one that when David went and found Saul sleeping, he went and he talked to Abner and said, Abner, you should have been protecting Saul. This is the same guy. Abner perhaps had hard feelings to David because of that or some other reason, who knows. But Abner here, the son of Ner, captain of Saul's host, took Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, and brought him over to Mahanaim and made him king over Gilead and over the Asherites and over Jezreel and over Ephraim and over Benjamin and over all Israel. Can I tell you, friends, when you're dealing with delays, you have to have faith, yes. You have to have forgiveness, that's for sure. But you have to have a fortitude. A strength that says, I will continue on for God. Can I tell you, friends, God didn't call you to quit. God didn't call you to give up. God didn't call you to let up. God called you to be faithful and to be constant in serving Him. God wants you to have a fortitude, a strength that says, I will keep going for the cause of Christ. You remember what God says to those that do right, well done, good and faithful servant. Can I tell you, faithfulness can be broken even in the final chapter. David here has a fortitude, a strength to continue even despite, number one, the hardships. You see that there are a lot of hardships that David all of a sudden faces. First off, he has enemies. There are people that are plotting against him, as we see. He has rivals. Abner took Ishbosheth, made him king. He has his insignificance. Here David is, and he thinks he's getting it all. What does he get? He gets 1/12 of the nation. 1 of 12 tribes. 11 of them still follow this puppet king that Abner set up, Ishbosheth. He has plenty of hardships. The delay. David here had already reigned 2 years, verse number 10, it says. David has been, or wants to be king. He's already waited about 13 years already. There are plenty of hardships, there are plenty of hurts in David's life. Can I tell you, friends, even in the hardships, and by the way, can I just say real quick, I know that there are hardships in many of our lives. Some of you have told me some of the struggles that you're facing, some of the battles that you're going through, and I understand the hardships, I do. I'm not going to diminish them, I'm not going to say they don't exist, I'm not going to say they're minor. every burden is something that God cares about. Every burden is something that I care about. Can I tell you? God didn't bring you to the trial for you to give up in the middle of the trial. God brought you to the trial so you can have hope, so you can have faith, so you can choose to trust God and continue to be faithful. I love what David says to the men of Jabesh-Gilead. He has no idea what's going to happen to him, but I think what David says to them is encouragement to David too. Have you ever found that to be true sometimes? You go and you talk to someone and you're trying to encourage them, and as you encourage them, then you go through the same trial that they're going through. Right? Have you been there? I've been there before. I go and maybe I'm counseling or maybe I'm just talking to somebody and somebody says, hey, I'm going through this, that, or the other. And I go and I give them some verses and then the very next day I'm going through the exact problems. Right? And I'm like, well, I should have paid attention better. Right? Yeah, that's kind of almost what happens to David here. You see David's hope. Look back at verse number 7. Therefore now, he's talking to the people of Jabesh-Gilead. Therefore now, let your hands be strengthened. Can I tell you, in the trials, hey, have a hope. Have a hope. I love the hope that exudes from verse number 7. Number one, in that hope, number one, be strong. Be strong. The Christian life, while as Siobhan sang earlier, God's yoke is easy, it's still a yoke. While God's burden is light, it's still a burden. Be strong. It's nothing compared to the burden of sin. It's nothing compared to the burden of this world. But can I tell you, it still takes a bit of strength. Be strong. Be strong. Therefore now, let your hands be strengthened. Number two, be brave. And verse number 7 says, be ye valiant. Be brave. Hey, in the trials, in the problems, when it seems like everything's against you, be strong. And number two, be brave. God didn't call you to be a wimp. God didn't call you to be a coward. God didn't call you to be fearful. God called you to be as a lion. Be brave. Be brave. Number three, be expectant. Verse number 7. Of course, as David says these words, for your master Saul is dead, he's going and encouraging them to come. But I can't help but think, as David thought back on the words that he had just written and sent to the people there in Jabesh-Gilead, he reminds himself that Saul is dead. Some of the enemies that you thought were so big, God's already defeated them. The trials that you thought you could never get over, if you look back, you'll realize God's already gotten you through those trials, hasn't he? Amen. Right? Has anybody had a trial in your life that you felt like you could not get through, and then you got on the other side and you're like, oh, that wasn't that bad? Right? You been there? Can I tell you, friends, that should encourage you and motivate you to go and say, hey, if God had that, then God can have this. If God can bring me through that, then God can bring me through this. Be expectant. Realize that God takes care of things if you trust Him. Realize that God will work it out if you rely on Him. Be expectant. And then finally, number four, be faithful. In the area that you've been placed, continue to be faithful. As David says to the men of Jabesh-Gilead, and also the hosts of Judah have anointed me king over them. Can I tell you, friends, where God's put you, continue to be faithful. Can I close with a verse that's kind of perhaps a little bit of a pet peeve? You've heard the verse perhaps before. You probably have. Wait on the Lord, right? They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength, Isaiah chapter 40. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Sometimes we get this idea. Here, stick with me, okay? Don't pack up yet. Stick with me. Sometimes we get this idea that waiting on God is us just kind of sitting there. Kind of like I might wait on Becky when she's trying on clothes at the store. By the way, I love COVID because dressing rooms are closed. Amen? Amen, men? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But, you know, I'll sit there. You know, you go into like a dress store, you go somewhere like that, right? My dad taught me when I was a teenager, he said, you need to learn something. You know, my mom was trying on some clothes. He's like, I need to teach you something that I haven't taught you yet. You ready for this? And I said, yeah. He said, this is the lean.
And he went up and he did this. You need to learn that. So I went and I practiced there. Sometimes we think that waiting on God is doing that. Don't we? Not going to do anything. God's got this. Can I tell you, that's not really waiting on God. It's not waiting on God. The word wait's an interesting word in Hebrew. It doesn't have the idea of just sitting and doing nothing. It has the idea of almost like we would think of a waiter. How many of you have ever been a waiter? You ever been a waiter? Well, let me ask you. You're going to, as soon as I finally let you go, you're going to go, and perhaps some of you will go to a restaurant. Yeah? How many of you have plans to go to a restaurant? Yeah? Okay, I'm going to ruin those and just keep preaching. Okay, good. So, you have plans to go to a restaurant. Okay? When the waiter comes and he says, okay, can I have your orders? You say, no, I need a little bit more time. What does the waiter do? Does the waiter say, I will be standing right here until you are ready to order it? Is that what they do? Yes or no? No. What do? They keep working. They have other things to do. Right? No. They're waiting for you to place the order. Yes. But they have a job they have to do until that happens. Am I making sense? Amen. Waiting on God, when the delays come, it's not you just go and you just sit back and you say, okay, I guess I don't do anything until that comes. No, no, no. God's called you to a place you're at. Right? Amen. God's placed you where you are. Be faithful here, and then you can do the next step. Right. Listen, friends. We all will and do face delays in our life, don't we? Amen. Roadblocks that are beyond our control. Problems that we thought God would just take care of and he just hasn't. We don't know why. We don't get it. We don't understand. Issues in our life that are just too big for us to take care of. Can I tell you, in that time, number one, have faith. God's got this. Never stop. God's got this.
Amen.
Have faith. Trust God. Have a fortitude, a strength to go and say, hey, I'm going to keep moving on. I'm going to keep being faithful to him. And then finally, have a forgiveness. And those that have hurt us, forgive until God leads and directs on. Let's all stand if we can. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. The invitation is very simple. First off, let me just say real quick, if you've not received Christ, you don't know that heaven is your home, I would love to talk to you and help you about that. The most important question that can ever be asked for any of us is whether we've received Jesus. Friend, if you have not received Christ, I would love to talk to you. You say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I don't know. I'm not sure I'm saved. I would like to talk to you about that. If you can, right now, just pop your hand up. I want to talk to you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. I won't even ask you to come forward. I want to talk to you after the service. And I want to be able to catch you so you don't just leave or I get caught talking to someone else. Hey, preacher, I'd like to know for sure heaven's my home. Preacher, I want you to pray for me. I'd like to talk to you about that. Is there anybody here that would say, I want to know for sure? I'm saved. Anybody? Anybody at all? Second question, main focus of this message, is the delays and the struggles of life. You say, preacher, there's something specific that God dealt with me about. I need to have a faith. I need to be forgiving. Hey, I need to just be continuing to trust God, have a fortitude to keep going on. Preacher, God dealt with me about something, and I need to get something settled. If that's you, would you pop your hand up? There's something God dealt with me about. Good, thank you. Several hands, many hands. Right now, in this invitation time, here's what I encourage you to do. I encourage you to go before the Lord with that. Maybe you go and you say, I'm not going through the trial right now. I'm not going through the burden right now. I'm going through the difficulty. Hey, can I tell you? Sometimes God gives us this stuff so we're ready for when it comes. Whatever it is, deal with what needs to happen. Right now, Becky's going to play. As she plays, I encourage you to seek God's face. If you'd like to come forward and pray, I'd be glad to pray with you. I'd be glad to help you and encourage you. But if God dealt with you about something specific, then deal with it specifically. God didn't send the trial. God didn't send the problem. God didn't send the issue for you to give up and quit and say, okay, I'm done. No,
faith to grow you into a forgiveness and a clear forgiveness for others. Right now, speak God. Say, God, I need you to do something.
If you'd like to come forward and pray, we'll be glad to help you. Whatever's going on in your life, we're praying for you to help and pray you will do business with the Lord. We can settle what needs to well, but simple song, trusting as the moments go by, trusting as the moments fly. Here you go.
Trusting as the days go by, trusting as the moments fly.
Trusting Him, whatever He's called. Well, let me encourage you to be back tonight. By the way, we have Sunday night services. So come back tonight, and we'll just have a good time as we open God's Word. And I don't preach the same message on Sunday night. And then also, we'll have pizza pastors after the service. You are all welcome to stick around. If someone wants to bring stuff, that's fine. You don't have to, okay? I'm just going to order stuff from Domino's, okay? But that is fine. Let's close in prayer, and then we'll let you go. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you so much, Father, that even in the trials, even in the burdens and the difficulties of life, Lord, when it seems like when we think that we would already be where we thought we'd be, Lord, we thank you that you are still on the throne. And we can still trust you. We can still rely and depend upon you. Father, be with those that said in some way you dealt with them. Father, I pray that you would help them. One, to have gotten it settled with you, but two, to go out of this place trusting you. To go out of this place forgiving those that may have hurt. And to go out of this place strong and bold to continue on and keep trusting you. Strengthen us as we go. Lord, work in the burdens and difficulties. A lot of needs here, Father. Lord, I pray that you'd meet each one and help us to grow through the trials. We love you and thank you. It's in Jesus' sweet name we pray. Amen. God bless you.